Subway famous $5 footlongs. So many sublicious choices, like the Delicioso Spicy Italian. And when you enjoy any regular footlong, order one of the many Subway dollar footlong sidekicks, like 21-ounce drinks and tasty sides, just $1 each or less. The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Yeah. All right, we're taping this on a Wednesday. The Red Sox are 2-6, although they are playing Oakland. Hopefully they will not be 2-7. Normally I call my friend Jacko at work. He's a diehard Yankee fan, and we try to figure out how worried he is about the Yankees. This time around, we're going to try to figure out how worried I am about the Red Sox. And I can tell you the early answer is very. So let's give him a call on the Subway Fresh Take hotline right now.
Complex Litigation, this is John.
Oh, Johnny.
I should say, oh, Billy.
Yeah, you probably should.
Oh, my God, are you all right?
Not good.
You don't sound good.
Not good. It's bad enough to lose, and it's bad enough to be 2-6, and it's bad enough that the WBC has destroyed Dice's career. But to lose the 12-inning game on the high hopper.
That was a rough one.
To lose games like that, it's bad enough when you lose. And by the way, we're taping this on a Wednesday, so I'm talking about the 12-inning Red Sox loss in Oakland in front of about 1,200 fans.
A lot of Red Sox fans, though.
Yeah, 900 of whom were Red Sox fans.
Right.
But to stay in for the extra hour to watch.
Yeah.
And then to lose in such a dumb way.
It was a rough one. The Baltimore chop.
The Baltimore chop, not a fan.
Not good times, eh?
I don't think nearly enough has been made of how screwed up that Oakland stadium situation is.
Because of the way the stands are in center field for the football? Mount Davis or something?
What about the upper deck now? They've just given up on ever getting a fan there. So they have like retired numbers in the upper deck now.
Yeah, I saw that.
The
weather looked terrible, too. The wind, I mean, it's just cold and windy after being warm the day before. It's crazy out there in the San Francisco Bay, so.
Yeah, people were wearing, like, heavy jackets.
Yes. Bad times. Windy. It reminded me of the Yankees Red Sox game in the 2004 that Pettit lost when it was, like, really windy and it affected the game. Somewhat reminiscent of that.
I can't say I was too impressed by the A's, which made it worse that we've now dropped two straight.
I only watched the first inning because it started late here on the East Coast. I guess I watched the first two innings, but no, he was not that good. The pitcher was awful, whoever the starter was, Eveland or something.
Dana Eveland, yeah.
Yeah, he was terrible.
Yeah.
And
what do you think of the Giambino's beard?
It makes him look like he's about 60.
It was like a little bit Sly Stallone in Russia.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of gave me that vibe, like he's getting the eye of the tiger back a little bit.
It's weird to see him wearing number 16. It's odd. I'm used to him being 25. It's weird to see him in that uniform.
It's definitely the single strangest team in the American League, I tell you that much.
Yeah, and there's not a lot going on really with that team, and yet somehow they've beaten the Red Sox 2 out of 2. So,
or maybe we've just lost 2 out of 2
yeah,
and they have nothing to do with it.
That's possible. You could have lost to anybody at this point.
I'm very concerned. Hey, I'm concerned about a few things. First of all, Dice having a tired arm is just unbelievable.
It's not good to have a tired arm the second week of the season.
Yeah, no,
that's
the
problem.
You never want to have a tired arm before tax day. If you beat tax day with your tired arm, that's a bad sign.
Not good. No, I agree. They put him on the DL today, by the way.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. I didn't even know that. You just broke the news for
me. Breaking news.
Well, I was complaining about this last month that the WBC is geared toward all the good teams. I feel like I really think that they should just take the worst 5 teams in the league, and that should be our American representation.
I will say this, and I know Japan went to the finals and he pitched a lot, but I mean, it hasn't really affected anybody else, though. I mean, I don't know who pitched for the U.S. because I didn't really watch more than a minute of it, but I mean, is there anybody else that has a fatigued arm and a tired arm?
No.
I mean, I guess maybe he took it more seriously than others, and Japan's national pride really gets wrapped up in the WBC or something. But, I mean, whoever pitched for America, you don't hear about like a rash of pitching fatigue, you know?
I wrote this in my MVP column today about, because the Spurs have now been screwed 2 years in a row because of
Ginobili, right.
And he got hurt in the Olympics.
I liked your theories for keeping guys out of that international sports.
Thank you.
Yes.
If I owned a team and Bud Selig tried to do this WBC thing, and I just paid $51.7 million or whatever the Red Sox paid just to spring dice from his contract plus the other $8 million a year that he makes.
Right.
And then I get to watch this guy throw 100 pitches against freaking Taiwan, or
right.
Whatever the hell they were playing. And I'm a billionaire. This would just enrage me. I would just call Bud Selig 40 times a day and just yell at him and drop MFs at him and stuff.
Well, you know, it's amazing to me because, you know, I have a theory that Bud Selig is a wholly owned subsidiary of Red Sox Nation. And yet he's screwed them now twice, arguably with the WBC and certainly with the six-game suspension of Josh Beckett.
Yeah.
I mean, really, they must be late with their checks to Bud or something. Something's very questionable about their relationship.
Let's add Bobby Abreu to the list of guys who only get tough as soon as there's 50 other guys in front of him in the picture.
Yeah.
He's like Adam on the Real Road Rules Challenge. He got really tough with CT once there were the 10 guys between them.
Exactly, yeah.
CT was chasing him in the parking lot. All of a sudden, he was running for his life.
Bobby had some chances to act up before the ump and catcher stepped in between him. Yeah, exactly.
Right. I like Josh Beckett's a little ornery.
Crazy.
Your Yankees had a little incident yesterday. I enjoyed AJ Burnett sticking up for Nick Swisher.
Absolutely. The Yankees don't do that. In the Torrey era, that was beneath the Yankees. It wasn't dignified enough, but it was great. It was fantastic.
I got to say, I've watched a lot of baseball the last 10 days because I've been editing my book, and I like to have something on in the background. And so I'm watching all these games, and I've seen a good chunk of innings of your team.
Yeah.
They do, personality-wise, they do feel a little different. I don't know how much of it is just A-Rod not being there.
Well, he was there the past two nights, though, in the dugout.
Swisher, I think, is the MVP so far.
Absolutely.
He's like it's like signing Will Ferrell.
It is. He's like comedic force. Even when they were losing 15-5, and he struck out Gabe Kapler, and he wanted to save the ball, and he was kind of smiling.
Yeah.
He took some guff for that. Like, Posada... I mean, I like Posada, which is shocking to hear me say, but Posada's really old school, and he was, like, embarrassed about it. And I mean, you know, I can't really, you know me, I would be in there flipping tables over, too, but in the clubhouse, but I can't really kill Swisher for, like, laughing on the mound when he's pitching as a position player. He's getting a kick out of it. You can't kill him for that.
I watched the whole inning live, and I continue to maintain that there's nothing more exciting than a position player pitching in a baseball game. You could take... In terms of things that can happen during the regular season of a sport,
it's up there.
Other than a bench clearing brawl or a fight, I think a position player pitching has me more riveted than anything else that could happen. Maybe somebody going for five homers in a game or a perfect game or a no hitter.
Right.
I'd even be more excited for Nick Swisher pitching than the ninth inning of a no hitter.
I was a little hurt that you didn't call me at any point last night while AJ Burnett almost had a date with Destiny. I was waiting for my cell phone to ring, and I was not going to answer it. But maybe if it made it into the eighth inning, you would have called.
You know what? I actually watched the inning where he whatever
gave up the hit.
No, where he protected Nick Swisher.
Oh,
I never realized that he was throwing the no-no.
Yeah, he had a no-hitter for 6 1/3, I think it was last night. So
I got to say, you know, in my fantasy league, he went for like $21, which was a fair price, but like a premium starter maybe goes in the 26 to 29 range.
Mm-hmm.
We thought about going 22. We backed off. We were worried about, you know, the fact
injuries.
That he pitches well in a contract year, his injuries, all that stuff. But the Yankees just might be the right team for him. Like, he just might be one of those guys that if he knows that he's going to get 4, 5, 6 runs, he's going to be good. And also they have a closer, whereas in Toronto, other than that one good B.J. Ryan year, it's been like a mishmash of closers.
Well, last night they kept saying that he enjoys pitching in big situations, which he never really had. You know, I mean, I guess he pitched for the Marlins in a World Series, but he comes up big in big situations. But in Toronto, he didn't really have any big games, and they were out of it. It was, you know, it was a Yankee, Red Sox, Rays always. So, I'm hoping for big things. I'm pleasantly surprised. I was iffy on that signing, obviously, because of his... given his history, but he was great last night, and he was pretty good at his first start, too.
Let's keep talking about it so we can jinx him. You know, the thing I love about it, AJ reminds me of Bob Gibson in this in 1968 a little bit. I was watching the 68 World Series and their demeanor. Very similar.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very similar.
Right.
I don't know how you hit the guy. I really don't.
Right. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Do you think, what, is he 2-0?
Yeah.
What's the record for wins in a season?
Good one. Good one.
Danny McLean was the last one that won 30, right?
If we can get him just to go 500 and just be a confident starter, eat some innings, we'll be happy with that. That's all we're looking for out there. Now I'm trying to reverse jinx it. So.
Well, I'll tell you this much. I'll tell you this much. Watching some of these teams.
Yeah.
First of all, I mean, right now, right before I did the podcast, I had the White Sox game going on, and Jose Contreras had thrown 4 scoreless.
Nice.
And he was, like, consistently cracking 84.
Hey, that a boy.
But had some movement, and they were like, and at one point, the announcer for the other team, Tigers, goes, I'll tell you, Contreras doesn't look bad today. Like, he was just totally blown away by this. But we had the, on my AL team, we had Vicente Padilla.
Okay.
Who is always terrible, but he had a home start against the Orioles. We're like, all right, we'll roll the dice. He gave up 11 hits and 7 runs in 3 innings.
Nice.
But there seems to be an inordinate amount of these guys this year.
Well, you know what's interesting is we did our AL preview, and we were not really sold on the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah.
And you sent me a hateful email from someone from Cleveland who took offense at my comments and disagreed vehemently. And I'd just like to say to that guy out there, they're 1-7, and Pavano gave up 9 runs in his first start.
Yeah, I'll tell you, when Cliff Lee has the 11 ERA or whatever it is, right, and Carl Pavano's your third starter, you're not going anywhere.
Exactly, exactly right. So take that, Cleveland.
There's, from what I've seen, and it's obviously it's way too early, because Baltimore's 6-2, and that's going to change.
Right, Baltimore and Toronto are in first and second, so.
Toronto 6-3 is also equally ludicrous, but
right,
it does seem like there's a couple, like for instance, the Angels I thought were in trouble before Aiden Hart, before that happened.
Right.
Now they're throwing out guys now. They started a guy yesterday. I got to look him up. I don't even know what his name was.
Yeah, I saw it on the bottom of ESPN's ticker. It starts with an S.
Well, you know how crazy I am about my league. I know everybody. I had never heard of this guy.
Right.
I'm Googling him, and I'm like, who? Just totally confused by it. And he's like this, what's it? Oh, his name is L-O-U-X.
Oh, Lou. Okay, it was Lou.
Shane Lou.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, you know, because we need another starter because of Aiden Hart. We're obviously going to bid on people in our weekly free agent thing. The guy's 29.
29 years old, and he's never been heard of before.
He's
a minor leaguer.
It's pronounced Lukes.
Lukes, okay.
So then the other guy that was in there maybe is this guy Dustin Mosley, who at one point was, I don't know, a decent prospect, nothing, not like a number one prospect. But so we're like, maybe we'll spend some money on Mosley. And we look him up, and he had like a 6.5 ERA at Salt Lake last year.
Nice.
These are the Angels' number 2 and number 3 starters right now, basically.
I watched them play the Red Sox because they played the Red Sox last weekend, and I watched some of their games, and I was a little underwhelmed by the Angels.
Yeah.
To be SI's World Series pick, I was a little underwhelmed by them.
Well, then you have Tampa, who is just not going to get the same bullpen this year.
No, there's no way. That bullpen blew up last night with Dan Wheeler.
Yeah, Dan Wheeler, I think there's some residual damage from his playoffs last year. And him getting shelled a couple of times.
I'll tell you this, though. The Rays are scrappy. I mean, Upton and Crawford scare the hell out of you. They get on base. They did a double steal the other night against the Yankees, and Posada didn't know what to do. I mean, he tried to throw him out at third. It wasn't even close. Those guys get on base, and they disrupt the pitcher. The Rays are all right.
They're a nice match for the Yanks are a nice match for them, I should say, because you have a guy behind the plate who could not throw out really anybody. On the planet, including the people from The World's Fattest Person or whatever that show is.
That'd be good.
They should have Biggest Loser. They should have a reality show where Jorge Posada tries to throw the Biggest Loser guys out.
Come on. That's hurtful to Jorge. Don't say that.
Jorge
has a couple good throws.
A couple good throws, yeah, but as the guy was standing up, dusting his pants off.
It's all right. It didn't bounce there. Got there.
That's a major hole. And the other guy we got to talk about is Mr. Jeter. who now plays shortstop in left field, which I don't think I've ever seen before.
Let's leave the captain alone. He got a big home run last night to put the game out of reach.
I thought the Cal Ripken thing was embarrassing when the last few years when they dragged Cal's body out to keep the streak going. This is much worse.
He's the captain. He can play there as long as he wants. Just fine. Don't worry about defense. We'll be fine.
I was going to say you should put a statue of him at shortstop after he retires, but you already have one now.
Wait a second. We have glossed over the glaring holes in your team a little too quickly.
Well, let's talk about the holes on your team first.
I'm sure you'd love to. My team is 4-4 and hasn't played a home game yet.
Yeah, that's true.
They beat the scrappy Rays yesterday. A.J. Burnett had a no-hitter, for God's sake.
Well, he actually didn't have a no-hitter. He
for a while.
Had one going for
a little
while.
He had one going.
That's what Congratulations.
Had one going, yeah.
Congratulations. That's
Thank
great
you.
Friend.
6-2, 6-3, baby. He'll be bouncing my grandkids on my knee, telling them where I was when I watched that.
Somebody sent me this unbelievable, you know, I was thinking about this because of the Rays. Did you know about Carl Crawford as a high school athlete?
No.
So I had a whole new respect for him now. So he's in high school, and he's like an unbelievable athlete, obviously, because we've seen him play. Here's how unbelievable he was, though. He was offered scholarship to play point guard at UCLA.
Wow.
He was also offered scholarships to play college football as the option quarterback at Nebraska or Oklahoma. And he was also offered a scholarship by USC, Florida, and Tulsa to play quarterback.
Wow.
He actually signed a letter of intent to play football for Nebraska and then got drafted by the Devil Rays in the second round and decided to sign with them.
Wow.
That's got to rank up there on the all-time most unbelievable athletes ever.
Definitely.
UCLA point guard, Nebraska quarterback, second round major league draft pick.
It's pretty good, and he made it in baseball. It's like Kenny Lofton. Didn't Kenny Lofton play point guard for Arizona, and then he ended up being a baseball player?
Yeah. Well, the greatest one ever.
For Kenny, though.
The all-timer was Allen Iverson. I suppose that he was the greatest football quarterback in the history of Virginia.
Well, how about the developing Greg Paulus situation where he was the point guard at Duke for 4 years, and
yeah,
he had to try out with the Green Bay Packers, and he may transfer to Michigan to play quarterback for them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty – imagine if he transfers to – now I sound like our former roommate in college. Imagine if he does that. Like, just went and played quarterback. Imagine if he did that.
I think it's a bad idea to choose, like, and this seems to happen a lot because Ronald Curry did it too. I think you should go, if you're a quarterback that's that highly regarded,
yeah,
I think you stick with football. Point guards, there's too many point guards. Too much can happen. You could hurt your knee. Like, and obviously, you get hurt in football, too, but it's just much harder to find a good football quarterback than a good point guard. There's five every year.
It could be that he was playing high school football around the time that the Chris Sims injury happened, and he was like, I don't think I can lose my spleen playing basketball.
Yeah, maybe that's what happened.
That's a possibility, you know.
I can't believe I never heard the Carl Crawford story, and you know what? I'm going to play the race card, Johnny.
Uh-oh.
I've heard the Greg Paulus story 10,000 million kajillion times,
right.
And I follow sports about as closely as I think anybody, and I never knew that Carl Crawford story. Never heard a baseball announcer mention it. Never came up in any broadcast.
It's troubling.
What? Is it because he's a black quarterback from Houston, Johnny? Is that why?
It might be because of the tattoo on his neck. That might be a factor.
I never noticed that.
Yeah, I think he has a tattoo on his neck.
Is that new?
I don't know. He had it in the game last night.
Hmm.
Like, you know, some sort of a weird symbol, like an ankh, but not really.
He's one of my favorite athletes in terms of having a nice perspective of, like, it seems like he actually cares.
It would be a good position,
you know what I mean?
To be in. I just was thinking about that, being a high school kid, and you're like, do I go to UCLA for basketball, Nebraska or Oklahoma for football, or do I sign this million-dollar contract to play baseball? It's not a bad position to be in at all.
You know, my answer would be, Johnny,
you would go play basketball at UCLA.
Yes, in a heartbeat, because you get to live in Los Angeles for a year, and then it's not like your baseball stock's going down.
No, you could still play baseball there probably too, right?
Yeah, because when you think about it, when you sign a minor league baseball contract, that first year, if you're 18, you're like in the, I mean, you're not even in like New Britain.
No, you're in like Cedar Rapids, Iowa or something.
You're not even there. You're like in Midland, Texas.
Yeah.
You're in places that don't even have downtowns.
Yeah, it's true.
Whereas if you're in UCLA, you could just do the whole...
There was the kid from Notre Dame, Jeff Samardzija. He played wide receiver at Notre Dame, and then didn't he play baseball at the same time? And then he's now the reliever for the Cubs. He ended up being a pretty good baseball player. So you could, yeah, you could definitely have other options and then fall back on baseball, so to speak.
He was a wide receiver, though. I think it's much harder to play quarterback in other sports. Because Ronald Curry tried to do it, he screwed up.
And being a quarterback year-round is probably a year-round job because you're going to have to play the playbook and the offense, and the coaches want you there every minute watching film and everything.
Well, now so you have to throw to the receivers and get like your timing down there
that
and all
too.
That stuff.
Right. Exactly.
Quarterbacks in general seem to have a personality where they're single taskers, you know?
Right.
They're very like, I got to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to work out from here, and they're very self-motivated.
Right.
I'm not sure you could just be like, yeah, I can't throw today. I got basketball practice. Like, I don't know if it works that way. It's not one of the, but if you're a receiver, I think you can, or maybe not even a receiver, maybe like a running back would be easier.
Yeah, running back's the easiest one because you just, you know, carry the ball and find the hole. There's not much really to work on. Receivers, you got to run routes and stuff.
The easiest would be place kicker.
Well, true, yes. I'm not sure that really counts, though, as an athlete, so.
It probably doesn't count. So how else are you feeling about the Yanks?
I feel pretty good. I was awful after the first two games when Sabathia was terrible, and then Wong was awful. And I'm still worried about Wong, who's been abysmal, doesn't even cut it. It's not even strong enough. But the rest of the rotation has been good. Sabathia came back with a nice bounce-back game on Saturday. Granted, it was against the Kansas City Royals, but still, pitched well, struck out some people. That was good. I like Burnett because he strikes people out. The Yankees, they had a stat last night. The last time the Yankees had somebody lead the American League in strikeouts was Al Downing in 1964.
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty troubling. You know, it keeps guys off base. I like the strikeout, so I felt good about Burnett. Jabba was good on Sunday, although the bullpen blew it. And Pettit was great. He pitches today, so we'll see. But he was great his last start. So 4 out of 5 ain't bad for starters. It's probably the best rotation they've had in a few years, certainly.
Maybe with Pettit, maybe he got his urine test away out of the way in March, and now he's able to cycle back in.
That could be it, maybe.
Yeah, you said out
there. I laugh at these taunts that you're making because I know they're just done out of sadness and bitterness and anger at your own debacle of a team. So it's okay. I'm just going to brush it right off.
Would it be weird if I sent HGH to David Ortiz just in anonymous packages?
Well, he needs to get back on the horse, I think. Definitely.
I mean,
David Ortiz.
How dare you? He's never been on the horse. I'm saying maybe he needs to start now.
Right, not him, sure. It's just an amazing coincidence that when they started cracking down on PEDs that his career fell off the table. But I'm sure that's just an odd way the planets aligned, obviously.
See, he has an inside-outside swing.
Talking about running a statue out there, my God. You're talking about making fun of Jeter being a statue. David Ortiz, my goodness.
It's not good.
There's these bumper stickers on cars around here in Connecticut and other aspects of quote-unquote self-proclaimed Red Sox Nation that say, it ain't over till Big Poppy swings. And for the last couple of years, the it referred to the game, but now it refers to the inning.
Okay, that was funny. It's funnier because I have a T-shirt that says that exact slogan. Yeah, that you've now ruined and I have to throw out.
I'm sorry. I'm actually glad about that. Yeah, it's the inning. That's what's over when Big Poppy swings. My God, I watched them last night in the first inning, and it was almost sad, except that it made me so happy. I mean, there's nobody in that lineup that scares you, and he's just a gaping hole.
I was emailing back and forth with Joe Sheehan last night from the Baseball Prospectus, who's a big Yankee fan.
Really?
Yeah, and very gets like very surly when you make fun of any of the players. He's fun to email with. But I was saying that I think this is the first Red Sox team since 1996 that doesn't have a single guy I would go pay to see.
Not one? Pedroia?
I'm saying like, yeah, I'd go, it's fun, I'm at a Red Sox game, I'd pay to go to the game. There's not a single guy in that team that I'd be like, you know, for instance, here's the analogy I'd use. In 99 and 2000, I was broke. I've told this story before.
Oh, yeah. Right?
No money, and I'm scalping to see Pedro Nomar. We've always had at least one guy like that. I think Manny, the entire time he was on the team, was somebody that, you know, if he was up, you didn't turn the channel.
True.
I really like Yuklis. He's fun to watch. Pedroia, obviously, is very endearing, and he's good. He plays the game the right way. But I'm not riveted when they're up. I'm sorry. They're lacking something.
Jason Bay doesn't do it for you.
Well, and I think Teixeira is the same way. The guy puts up huge stats. But, yeah, I really like Yuklis. I think he's, you know, does everything the right way, all that stuff. But I don't know if I'm going to be bouncing my grandkids on my lap telling them about the time I saw Dustin Pedroia tripling in the gap, you know?
Yeah, no, you're right.
And that's what's weird about this Red Sox team is they don't have, for all this money they spent and the financial position they're in, they don't have a single meal ticket.
They're really nondescript and bland. That's a good point. And there's just, I mean, I don't know. It's like a
The Yankees have CeCe, who say what you want about the guy. It still feels like an event when he pitches.
Right.
He was pitching against the Royals, and granted, he's on my fantasy team, but it's still fun to watch him pitch. He's very good at what he does. Beckett for the Red Sox has, you know, I think his playoff heroics have kind of overshadowed his actual resume. He's not like the kind of, you know, he's not the kind, you're not taping his games and watching them 2 months later.
No.
He's just not that kind of pitcher.
Tough guy to root for, too.
The only guy that we had that was really like a signature, ooh, this guy's in, this is going to be great, is Papelbon, who now just throws a 94-mile-an-hour fastball, has no other pitches, doesn't change speeds, and the same at-bat keeps happening like what we saw last night when he's going against Ryan Sweeney, who's a stiff. First pitch, Ryan Sweeney, you know, misses it. He's still swinging as the ball's in the catcher mitt. But Papelbon just is the same pitch over and over again. By the seventh time, he finally cranks the line drive right at somebody. But Papelbon this year, I'm very, very concerned.
I saw his ninth inning on Saturday, the 39-pitch adventure for a save on Saturday against the Angels.
Yeah,
Kendrick fouled off about 47 pitches, and it was like, yikes.
Because he doesn't throw the split anymore. He throws the same fastball over and over again. And these guys are all major league hitters. Eventually they're going to figure out, all right, here's what's coming next.
Right.
I'm concerned. My friend Hatch thinks he's going in the DL within the next 3 weeks. I'm not that doom and gloom. But,
really?
He thinks something's wrong with him. Because he's like, this guy used to have an A-plus splitter that he now doesn't throw at all.
Yeah, that's not
And if
time.
He doesn't throw it, then why isn't he throwing it? That's just weird. You don't lose the ability to throw a pitch that you've mastered.
It's not a good sign at all.
On the bright side, we got Danny Bard in AAA throwing 102.
Yeah, there you go. He could be up. Maybe they'll bring him up when Beckett gets suspended and now that Daisuke is on the DL. They'll probably have to bring up Buckaroo, right?
Yeah, he might be ready. Yeah, he might be ready not just to come up, but to bust out with another girlfriend. Maybe a top 100 Maxim list person.
I was going to say, he'll be moving back up to Maxim category, yeah.
He's going to have to break up with the waitress from the Foxy Lady. Sorry, honey.
I got the call up.
Hey, do you watch baseball, like Baseball Tonight and MLB Network? Do you watch those
night
shows?
I watch Baseball Tonight. I haven't really watched much of the MLB Network. A little bit, but not enough to really form any opinions.
I've watched MLB Network the last couple of nights, and I got to say they're doing a nice job. I got to give them props.
Really? That's good.
Yeah. They jump around. And they can because they own the rights to everything, but they do a really nice job of jumping around to different games. And, here's like the Nick Swisher thing, for instance, because I wasn't watching at that point. It was a 10-run game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, hey, you're not going to believe this. Nick Swisher now pitching. And they go right to the thing, and they stayed with it. So I switched over to the actual game. But they had the mayor, Sean Casey.
Oh, he's on there. Everybody loves Sean Casey.
I got to say, he's excellent.
Is he good? Yeah.
Yeah, I think if I had a baseball analyst draft and all the guys were eligible for the studio guys, I think I'd pick him first.
Really?
Yeah, like in 10 days, he's already like right up there with anybody. He's good. He makes good points. He's funny. Barry Larkin, I'm not as high on.
No.
He's got this kind of little bit of an attitude, like I'm Barry Larkin. Like even with Casey, it was kind of, there was this underlying tone like, yeah, but I hit 340 one year, and you're Sean Casey. Like,
wow.
Kind of when they were arguing, there was just a twinge of that. Like, yeah, didn't you used to fetch my – didn't they play together?
Yeah, they were both on the Reds probably. Yeah, they had to be together at some point, yeah.
It was just a twinge of – yeah, weren't you the guy who couldn't hit the ball out of the infield when we played together? Like,
I couldn't throw the ball that hard from short to you because, you know, it hurt your hand or something.
Yeah, yeah. There's just a twinge of I was much better than you once upon a time, so don't challenge me.
Yeah.
But
what's Hazel May's role on MLB? She's on there too, isn't she?
Hazel is doing remotes.
She does. Okay. She talks with the players.
Let's leave it at that.
Okay.
These shows, the thing that fascinates me is they have an hour show to fill. They're trying to come up with things to tackle and, how can we get Eduardo Perez off the, we'll send him into the video room and it'll break something down. Like I know how it works, but.
All right.
So they're like, all right, let's break down what happened to Chin Ming Wong.
Oh.
Let's break him down. Let's look at this year versus last year. Now, you and I could explain this in one sentence. He throws a hard sinker that spills down, and when he leaves it up, people hit it.
It's a batting practice fastball.
Yeah.
Right.
So if that sinker's not sinking, he's going to give up 13 runs unless you take him out.
Right.
That's it. I've just solved the Chin Ming Wong, what happened in 2009. But no, we have to have the breakdown of, hey, here's Chin. Then watch his sinker. No, wait. Now watch it this year. It's like, oh, yeah. Probably could have told me that without sending Eduardo Perez to the video room. But they did the same thing with Cliff Lee, who's, you know, they're like, Cliff Lee, impeccable control last year. Now watch this year. Watch his first pitch. His first pitch of that bat, it's a ball. It's in the dirt. Not the same control. It's not the same Cliff Lee. It's like, you're showing me one pitch, and this is your evidence.
Everything. Right. You can't throw strikes. There you go.
Yeah, I think they need to settle down on these baseball shows.
Well,
some guys are going to be good. Like, maybe Cliff Lee went out the night before and got drunk.
Right. He's tired. His allergies are bothering him.
Maybe his wife kicked him out of the house, and he didn't get enough sleep, and that's why he was thrown in the dirt. Like, it's not as simple as his mechanics have completely changed.
Well, we have too much technology nowadays, and they have to use it. They feel like they have to utilize it because they have all the video angles and everything else. So, you know, if you had it, you're going to use it, I guess.
I will say that I think baseball has become the best sport or it probably always has been, but when you're multitasking and you're answering emails,
yeah,
and, you know, doing a whole bunch, reading a magazine, whatever, flipping back and forth, there's no better sport. I really miss baseball.
No, it's good. It's a good sign of, you know, well, it doesn't matter for you because you're out in L.A., but it's a good sign that spring is back or on its way. Things are going to finally warm up. It's good. And like you say, just to have it on in the background. You forget how much you miss it, but it's on. Like, it's every single day they play. So
yeah.
And you get home from work and you're like, after dinner, what am I going to do? What am I going to watch? Oh, there's something on TV. Oh, well, now I can put on the Yankees game, you know. Watch that in the background. Like, if I'm on the treadmill or something, or you're just doing household projects or whatever it is I do at home. You know, like you say, reading the paper, you could have the game on in the background. It's fantastic. And where I live now in Connecticut, because I can watch the Yankees and the Red Sox, and if they're both on the East Coast, I can flip back and forth between the two. So that makes me happy because I can root for the Yankees and against the Red Sox. So it's always good, flip during commercials. It's good times. It's just like, it's just always there, you know?
Yeah, it's a constant. And that's why I like baseball. In a lot of ways, it's the most fun to follow because these guys are just in your life every day. Like, in the Celtics cannot play for 6 days.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell. Oh, where'd they go? Oh, yeah, they're off for 5 days. But, you know, I'm always going to be able to turn on the TV and see Jason Veritek strike out.
Literally
strike out. I'm always going to be able to watch J.D. Drew take a called third strike to end the game and then start swearing and then have my wife get mad at me because I swore in front of our daughter and then have to explain to her how effing frustrating J.D. Drew is. And
right. You can have the joy in my life of having a new wife, having been married 4 months, and she got to watch me watch Ching Ming Wong's self-destruction the other night and saw me react kind of like CT did on the Real World Road Rules Challenge. So that's good times, too, now that she knows what she's gotten herself into, you know? So
you finally...
Not as much fun for my wife, but fun for me.
So, you finally saw the first episode.
I did, yeah. I DVR'd it. I watched it last night, actually.
Do you think I should have Jacoby on every week to break it down?
I do. I listened to that podcast on Friday, which was quite enjoyable. But in some ways, I wish I hadn't listened to it because it was, you know, kind of spoiled things for me.
Yeah.
To watch it last night. But I not to say it really impacted my enjoyment at all, which I still enjoyed immensely. But, I mean, just CT, as I said earlier in an email that you were email chain you were involved in, I mean, I demand that he gets his own reality show. You guys were talking about MMA, which is also a good idea. But,
yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you just, I mean, just CT, like, navigating his way through life? Come on, are you telling me people aren't going to watch that?
Just call it CT.
Just call it CT. Like, just, it would be kind of like Seinfeld, like a show about nothing, just him in Charlestown, just, like, interacting. And I think I'm going to go out and get drunk tonight. And then him inevitably gets into a fight with the entire bar. You tell me you're not going to watch that.
I'm T-bowing it right now, and it's not even a show.
CT followed by cameras. Like, he just gets up and lifts weights, and he's like, I'm hungry. He goes to a restaurant. Like, they undercook his hamburger or something, and the ugliness ensues. Come on. It's fantastic.
You know, I'm thinking that it would even be funnier if they did it. Like, they had to move to L.A., And they had it done exactly the way the Hills is done. Like with like some like, you know, effeminate catchy theme song.
Right.
And then it starts out like CT at some outdoor cafe. So the busboy that I punched, he's suing me. And that's like the first guy. I would watch that show.
You know, it'd be funny if he was out in Hollywood and he wanted to be an actor and he went out on auditions and it was like some romantic comedy and he just was awful and he just like beats the hell out of some producer or like attacks the room, breaks the camera. It'd be fantastic.
You know how you know he's crazy? And I don't mean to belittle his brother's death because it was sad, but as he told the story, I wasn't fazed. Like let's say you're on a reality show and you say, yeah, my brother just died. He got in this beef and these guys shot him twice. I would be like, oh my God, that's unbelievable. That's the worst thing I've ever heard. This is terrible. Are they going to find the guys? And with CT, like he mentioned that during the after show or whatever, and people like, yeah, that's rough. But nobody was like surprised.
No, God, no.
Because everybody kind of feels like maybe that's how CT's life, that's how it might end.
He's in the...
In some sort of terrible fight that is going to end horribly.
He's in the Tyson zone.
He is. He's in the Tyson zone for how his death is going to be.
Exactly.
Like, I'm prepared for anything for, you know, CT found floating... Or whatever.
I used to know this guy somehow through some group I was involved in or something, and he was a really odd guy. And I used to say, like,
that sounded very fishy.
So I used to say, someday I'm going to be reading the paper, and it's going to say, three bodies found in so-and-so's backyard. And I'm not even going to read the article. I'm just going to, like, turn the page. I'm just going to, like, be like, oh, of course they were, you know.
Right.
Same thing with CT. Like, if he's involved in some awful incident, you're just going to be like, oh, of course CT was involved in some awful incident, you know.
Well, that reminds us of, I won't say the name, but we went to college with somebody that we always had a running joke that he was just, we were going to be walking to class one day and just shots were going to start ringing out from the Fenwick Tower.
Yeah.
And all of us would have been like, if we found out if it was this person, all of us would have been like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Of course he did. Right. Why
of course
he?
It was him.
Right.
But I think CT...
Well, CT last night, I mean, when I watched it, a couple things came to mind immediately around that fight. Like, one, they really should, I mean, when the producers got involved and he was knocking over producers and literally, like, ripping holes in the wall.
Yeah, that was good.
They should have had, they should have, like, a tranquilizer gun standing by, like, they use them like an animal escapes from the zoo. And then he had a great line, which now tops I'll Pepper His Sauce from the 20th anniversary one.
Yeah.
When he said at one point, he goes, I will crush his skull and eat it.
Yeah, that was Tyson-esque. Tyson, I think, has said that.
No sane person says things like, I'll crush his skull and eat it. Like, nobody says that. That's normal. And the other thing that I was fascinated by was that what set him off on this rampage was because his girlfriend DM had broken up with him to quote-unquote focus on her career. What's her career?
It's a great question.
Allows her to go to New Zealand to participate in the challenges that she wants to focus on. Like, is she like a corporate lawyer? Like, what's her job exactly that she's focusing on?
I liked her rationalization that if they only let her outside and he could see her, he wouldn't be as upset anymore.
You're right.
Like, you're the reason he's upset, honey. You're the reason he just put a five foot hole in a wall.
If he could just see me. It's like what you do to, like, an animal. Like, you wave its toy at it to stop it from chewing on something. Like, she just thought she could just, like, wave herself in front of CT and he'd calm down.
Yes, I have to be suspicious of the motivations of somebody who told CT, maybe in 5 years we can get married.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have said maybe in 75 years.
I want to focus on my career, CT, and when I keep bringing you to corporate cocktail parties and you beat the hell out of the vice president, it's not helping my advancement in the company. Yeah, but he said the Red Sox weren't that good. No, CT, you can't beat up the president of the company.
Was that an attempt at a Boston accent?
It was. It was awful. I know. I can't do the Boston accent. Sorry.
Well, I rewatched it. And
that was my tribute to Kevin Costner in whatever movie he did.
13 Days.
Right.
I rewatched it a couple nights ago. Didn't even intend to rewatch it, but enjoyed it so much the first time I just decided to give it another go. And I think the most underrated part and a part that really got lost in the shuffle was after the roof hookup,
Siobhan
used, so the mic just kind of dangling off her body. There's been no more incriminating sign than that.
Yeah, I know. She was like adjusting her clothing and everything too. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I've done some TV. That transmitter goes, they hook it into your belt, which then hooks like kind of next to your butt. And if that thing's dangling from your body, that means your belt was taken off and the transmitter or whatever. You had to basically pull your pants down for that transmitter to be dangling like that.
It's like the Zapruder film. You watched it like frame by frame.
I did. Well, then the other telling sign was when she's sitting with her friends pretending that nothing happened.
Right.
She has that same Ellen Barkin "See a Love" look. Like, had sex with Al Pacino for like 3 hours and just her eyebrows have been singed by his breath. So yeah, I think something happened.
Looks like she's put on a couple too, huh?
couple hundred?
Yikes.
Yeah,
I hope the roof was reinforced.
I actually Googled her because Jacoby now has been obsessed with trying to find out how much it costs to get these various people to host things. And so they had her bio on whatever the website is, and said she was 27.
Come on.
Yeah.
Really?
It's a little old.
Yikes. Well, how about the other one on there, the Robin, who last night was like, I love challenges. It's what I live for. She's like 35, isn't she? And the one you guys talked about this, you and Jacoby, but that guy Mark, he had his tearful retirement.
You know what? We screwed that up. That was actually Timmy who retired. He's still retired.
I thought the other guy retired too, though.
I think he retired, but it wasn't as big of a deal.
Yeah,
he didn't get his farewell day in each stadium.
He didn't get like Kareem's farewell tour.
No, he didn't. So here's the Yankee schedule.
All right.
So you got Pettit Sonnenstein today, which by the time this goes up, will probably have concluded, hopefully, with a loss for the Yankees.
And Evan Longoria is out because of some family issues, but he's a big bat out of their lineup.
So then you got Cleveland.
But Xavier Nady's out for the rest of the year, apparently, because he needs Tommy John surgery again.
Is that true?
Yeah. A guy at work just told me a little while ago. Said he saw something where he said he's probably out for the rest of the year. I don't know if it's Tommy John, but he needs surgery.
You know, you just reminded me. I don't even remember the last time I've seen him. How many has he played at all?
No, he's played all along. He played last night, and he had a routine throw, and then he complained about sharp pains in his elbow after the game, and they were like, "Oh no," because apparently he had Tommy John in 2006, and whatever he did last night, it re-aggravated it.
Ooh, yeah, it's he's gonna miss the season.
Yeah, but they can put Swisher in there.
Yeah, so let's go back to the balcony of whatever hotel we're staying at in November.
Yeah.
It goes across the ticker. Yankees sign Nick Swisher.
Mm.
You reacted so poorly. You went out on the balcony of this hotel.
Yes.
And just stared out into the distance for like 10 minutes. Like you just got news somebody had died.
I had a call because the real reason I was so bummed out about that is because I thought that took them out of the Teixeira sweepstakes. At the time, he was going to be their first baseman, and the analyst said, well, they won't be going to get Teixeira now. So that really bummed me out.
Now he's on a Babe Ruth pace.
Now I love Nick Swisher. Now I'm going to buy Nick Swisher's jersey.
He's a combination of Babe Ruth, Will Ferrell, and George Clooney, the way people say Clooney behaves around a set, where there's a magnetism.
Right.
Yeah. He's like really, arguably, your top five favorite Yankee?
He's up there. He's vaulted to the top, yeah, almost. Jeter's my favorite. He's the captain. But, you know, I do like Nick Swisher.
Will he be in your top five when he dips to 200?
He may fall back down as well. It's really his spot on my popular Yankees list is really tied in with his average. Closely tied in. Now that he's batting .450, I love him.
The captain's still number one, huh?
Of course. Derek Jeter. Come on. I know his skills have slipped a bit, but he's still the captain. Captain clutch. Love Jeter.
A bit. Wow. I think a bit's a little bit of an understatement.
Take it easy.
He looks like he dips his legs in concrete before he runs out the shortstop. I mean, you can't say this enough. The guy now plays almost in left field because he's so freaking slow.
He's old. He's getting old. He's been around he's been there since 96, 13 years. We all get old, sadly.
How about this? How about a Pilates program, Derek? How about some yoga? How about stretching? It looks like he can't even bend over.
Don't you worry about him.
The guy's a professional athlete. Maybe he should stop hanging out with Mika Kelly and all these other girls and get into a Pilates program.
It's all right. please, come on, look at your team. Are you kidding me? You have the biggest collection of Mike Lowell, Jason Veritek. These guys should be in a home.
Mike Lowell, that's not fair because he got injured in the war.
Yeah, the First World War.
He's a disabled war veteran. Oh, he's not? Oh, he's just running like that? Oh, I didn't. I'm sorry.
You know, at least we have a shortstop. You have Jed Lowry. I mean, your fans are actually...
we don't.
Not anymore, exactly. Your fans are actively hoping for Julio Lugo's return.
Yeah,
I know, that's like a sign of the apocalypse when fans are like, hey, how's Julio Lugo's progress coming along? When's he coming back?
I can top that one. I actually Googled him yesterday to see how his rehab was going. He hit like 220 last year.
When do we get Lugs back? We could really use his bat. Really? Oh. Yeah, things are starting out great.
It's not good. I'm not going to lie. I think my real problem is that I don't really enjoy watching the team.
And I would kill Jed Lowry's start even more before his injury, except that Cody Ransom is also hitting 56 at the moment. So, but he's just holding a place for A-Rod. So,
don't I know it, Johnny? Is I'm an AL team.
56. I told you to stay away from Cody. Oh, no, I don't think I did tell you to stay away from Cody Ransom. I told you what a great athlete he was with his 70-inch vertical leap.
I got to ask you something. Do you think they'll rename the Mendoza line the Ransom line, or do they create a different line for Ransom?
Well,
call it the Ransom line, like for under 100 is the Ransom
line. Well, that's just it. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The Mendoza line is 200, but the Ransom line is going to be 60 because he's hitting 56 right now. So if he can get over 60, we'd be happy.
I mean, 56. How many at bats does he have?
It's too bad that when he gets up to the bat instead of hitting, he can't somehow say, can we decide whether we're going to base by vertical leap somehow? We're going to change the rules of baseball.
Oh, he's up to 083.
Oh, nice. He must have had a hit last night.
He's 2 for 24 with 8 strikeouts.
Ouch.
You know, another red flag is 33.
Yeah, exactly.
And he has 166 career at-bats.
Mm, that's right. It's not like he's never seen Major League pitching before. Right.
Some trouble.
Not good. It's not good, but he's just, you know... He's just a placeholder.
You know what his OPS is?
Low.
279.
Yeah, not good.
That's like almost historic.
What's Big Poppy's? Oh, wait, I have it right here. Well,
why am I even laughing?
Big Poppy is hitting 172.
That's
he has five hits. He has no doubles. He has no triples. He has no home runs. His OBP is 306. He is hitting a crisp 172 slugging percentage.
I got no comeback.
By the
way,
of every day Red Sox players, I have their season batting statistics. He has the lowest batting average. He only beats Jed Lowry, who's hitting 56,
yeah,
and is now on the DL. He's beating Chris Carter, who's batting 0-2, and Gil Velasquez, also 0-2. Big Poppy.
I can't say I'm shocked by the Big Poppy decline because these big bodies really just don't last long. And hopefully, maybe he'll bounce back.
War hero Michael Ohl is hitting 188.
Here's the guy. Well, the Ellsbury thing is what bugs me because...
Jacoby Ellsbury, the next Joe DiMaggio, he's hitting 194.
Well, this is... And we talked about this in the podcast a couple weeks ago. This is what I never understood is that they benched this guy during the playoffs because he was so bad.
Right.
He was so unreliable that they decided you cannot play anymore. We have to put in Coco Crisp because you are just killing us too much. And then the winter passed. Everybody's like, hey, Jacoby Ellsbury, woo, 70 steals.
Right.
Well, he's got a 265 on base. He's our leadoff hitter right now.
Eesh.
He's going to steal 70 bases, but if you hit 210, it's not really getting you anywhere. You're basically Gary Pettis.
I don't know if he's going to be on base 70 times.
We got to go.
All right.
Well,
on that note.
Well, the Red Sox are playing Oakland right now. Oh,
Wakefield.
Tim Wake. Yeah, it's good to see him again. I got to say, I saw John Smoltz in the dugout last night and got excited. Smoltzy!
There you go. He's about a month away.
When's he ready? I like that he travels with the team just so he could play golf with Dice K.
Yeah, it's good.
And then we got Baltimore, a two-gamer against Minnesota, and then... Friday night, April 24th, the New York Yankees.
Yep. D-Day Part 1.
So there you go.
That's just what the Red Sox need is Baltimore coming to town. That's when they're going to bounce back. They own their Orioles.
Yeah, but, I don't understand it, but Baltimore hits. you look at their lineup, and it's all these guys that have been on other teams, and they're not, the Brian Roberts. I get Markakis is homegrown, but the Aubrey Huff, Melvin Mora, Ty Wigginton, these guys are like guys anybody could have had.
Right.
Greg Zahn. Well, Greg Zahn's better than 136, but it's just hard for me to believe that they're, Brian Roberts is hitting 441 right now? Yikes.
Jeez.
Anyway. All right, Johnny, so what are you this week?
On a nervousness scale?
Yeah, on being worried.
Oh, like a one.
Really, a one?
No, yeah.
You give me the one.
Yeah, they're 4-4. Their rotation has been great except for Wong. They're on the road. They haven't had a home game yet. Playing well. I'm happy with 4-4. I'll take 4-5 or 5-4 to start the season on the road.
I'm a 6.5 for the team.
Yes.
For my own feelings about the team in terms of watching them day to day and actually enjoying the guys in the team, I'm like a 10. I'm really struggling for guys to like in this team.
Locked out. I'm already unbelievable.
I'm very close. I like Masterson. I like Uke and Pedroia. I really like Ramon Ramirez. They have like six guys I like, but there are more guys that I don't like.
Well, maybe things will turn around for you. Hopefully not, but maybe they will.
I hope so too, Johnny. Good to talk to you. Talk to you next week.
Good to talk to you. All right.
Okay.
See ya. Bye.
Target the sign off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.